Welcome to the OA Serenity Sunday Meeting Podcast. Serenity Sunday is now hybrid, meeting in person at Roxbury Park in Beverly Hills and on Zoom. Visit the Los Angeles Intergroup's webpage at oalaig.org for information on how to join our meeting live in either iteration. Now that we're meeting in person, Serenity Sunday has regular meeting expenses and would appreciate Seventh Tradition donations to help support the meeting and this podcast. You can donate via Venmo at Serenity Sunday 2023 or through PayPal, serenitysunday1212@gmail.com. The opinions expressed on the Serenity Sunday podcast are those of the individual speaker and not those of Overeaters Anonymous as a whole. And now, our speaker.
So as I said, I'm Dina, compulsive overeater, 100 pounder. My current abstinence is 7.5 years. And my current weight loss, I'm guessing, is about 145 pounds. I have not had the courage, thank you, to go on the scale. I know that I have gained some weight in my current abstinence. And so at this moment, I don't have the courage to go on the scale. I think I was an overeater from the very beginning. My mother says that I didn't eat well as a child, which I really find hard to believe. She gave me this vitamin B12, whatever, and I guess I OD'd because I always remember being not having a sober relationship with food. I remember going to the little girls across the street after school, and her mom would prepare snack. And then they'd like eat a little, and then they'd want to go out and play. And I'd be like, but there's food left. I didn't say that out loud, but I kind of like wondered like, well, why would you do that? And to prove to myself that this ism is exactly like alcoholism, there's a story in the back of the big book with almost the exact same situation, but with alcohol, where there's a woman at a party. And she's watching the party, and somebody comes up to this other person and says, oh, come here, I want to show you something. And the person puts down their drink on the mantelpiece and walks away. And she's like, I don't understand how you do that. How can you do that? And that's the same way I was about snack when I was a kid. How do you just walk away from it? There's food left. When I did my first foodalog, I found that I was eating large quantities of sugar or things that turned into sugar like carbohydrates just about every 2 hours because I had no other tools for coping with life. I got vitiligo when I was 2, which doesn't really show up in a person of my skin tone as much as it does on a black person. But my eyelashes are white. I had a big gray streak in my hair and part of my eyebrow is white, and I have no pigment in this general area. And you know, kids are so loving and accepting of everything that's different. And so I was a miserable kid. My parents weren't really equipped with the skills to tell me that I was okay and that they loved me. I found out later in life that they really did, but my childhood belief was that they didn't. And so I became this amazing liar to cope with the fact that my parents didn't want me, didn't love me, I was unlovable, et cetera, et cetera. In high school, I became a sex and porn addict. I dabbled a little bit in drugs, but not so much. I tried to maintain my weight throughout because I think that was really my primary addiction. By various different means, the most memorable one was eating only that which I wanted, which was chocolate. That's why I always think of you when I think of chocolate. and so, but that obviously didn't work very well because I wasn't getting very nourished. I was just eating my Three Musketeers for lunch. I think I went to the program the first time when I was like 19 years old, because I remember having gone to Israel after high school, dropped all of my weight because you eat really healthy for the most part, and I was working on a kibbutz. And so we were doing farm work for 6 hours a day. So I farm worked for 6 hours a day and ate healthy. There it goes. I was like, I don't know, 170, 180 pounds. And I'm a very big person. I used to be 5'9". But I'm a large person, and so 180 pounds is a really good size for me. So I lost all my weight when I was in Israel, and but eventually had to come back to America to my I don't know how to do this life, and gained 100 pounds in the first year back. And then my friend Melody, who's an alcoholic, said, "Hey, you know, there's a program for people who eat like this." And I said, "Seriously?" So I don't even remember how I got to the first meeting, but I do remember that I wore glasses then, now as I do, that the tears pooled in my glasses before they hit my shoes, because something there told me that they were speaking the truth. Even though I really didn't have, maybe I did have the capacity to get the program at the time, but I was still heavy into my other addictions, and there were lots of willing men, unfortunately, in the program. And so I spent most of my time doing that and not necessarily working the program. The two things that I came away from the first time I was in the program was my sponsor introduced me to the concept of a higher power, which I had never had. We grew up hypocritically Jewish, where my parents sent my brother and myself to this Orthodox congregation on Saturday mornings. Well, they didn't do kosher, they didn't not work on the Sabbath, they did all this stuff that we were told you weren't supposed to do. So we're like, okay, yeah, sure, this is important. Not. So the reason I bring that up is because God never came into the picture. I always had this really strong, quote, Jewish identity, but I never had God. So my sponsor at the time said I should put out a want ad. So I put out a want ad. This was unconditional love I'm talking about here, right? So this was all important for me. So I got myself a higher power that loved me no matter how badly I screwed up, always wanted the best for me, and only I could see, because I was kind of afraid to do the whole God thing. Well, other people didn't think it was so cool. So that stayed with me even after I left the program, and I didn't actively leave. I sort of just stopped, going to as many meetings and stopped this and stopped that, and then all of a sudden, it was years later. But the other thing I left that the program with the first time was the people who did try to love me told me that I needed a lot of therapy. So I spent 20 years in therapy, got my head screwed on straight, and came out a compulsive overeater. Again, like the big book says, the gentleman at the front of the book said, "Oh, if I could just figure out why it is that I drink, then I won't have to drink anymore." Well, I understood why I ate, that I had no other coping skills, et cetera, but I didn't also have a plan for how to stop that. So in 1987, I became what I call a dry drunk. I put the plug in a jug and I said I was never going to have sex again until I got married. So that was my way of dealing with my sex and porn addiction. And I also, at that time, became what in vernacular would be called a born again Jew. I became what they call Chozer B'Tshuva. I became an Orthodox Jew, much to my parents' chagrin, because I found through that faith that I could marry the higher power that I had created for myself and the religion I was born into. And it gave me a whole new concept of how to live a peaceful life with a lot of meaning. So I married myself a nice Orthodox Jewish man, and we had two beautiful Orthodox Jewish boys, yummy and delicious. And it came a point in time where I decided I was going to have to stop bathing them in the kitchen sink, and I tried bathing them in the bathtub. And the gravitational pull of my 400-pound body would not allow me to get up off the floor. It's highly embarrassing. And I said to myself, I need to do something if I'm going to be around for these children. So I said to God, I'll make you a deal. You've heard this story before. I'll make you a deal. If you keep me off chocolate for a week, and if you make it that I never see any of the guys I slept with the first time through the program, I'll go back to OA. Because I'm living in the city now, and when I started, I was in the valley. That seemed logical to me. So I was off chocolate for a week. So I came to Serenity Sunday when it was in the old room over there. And as I walked in the door, there's one of those guys. I said, God, I thought we had a deal. And God's like, sweetie, I don't make deals. I don't know what you were thinking. don't make deals. I run the world. You do Dina's part. I do everything else. Oh, this is my favorite one. If you do what's right, God will do what's left. I love that one. Anyway, so I said, okay, well, I'm gonna have to deal with that face to face. So I made an amends to that person and 50,000 other people. And I lost my first 100 pounds in my first year and a half here. And then I decided that I was too bloody chicken to try to limit my caloric intake or up my exercise. Because I found out later, many, many, many years later, that I was molested as a kid and I had buried all of those memories. And so all of a sudden, when I started becoming thinner, I started, becoming very, very afraid of having attention. And so, but again, I didn't put it all together. And then I found my current sponsor. Say, I think my tracker says it was 1800 days ago, maybe 1900 days ago. I don't know how that works out into years, but my food tracker tells me how many days it is. And she asked me to give up white flour. Now, white flour has been my lover since I was a child. We have this thing called challah, which for me is heroin. And we would have this big challah Friday night at dinner. And we would eat this piece at Friday night dinner. And my mom would wake up Saturday morning and find this piece because Dina woke up and had Saturday morning cartoons with bread and butter because bread was my thing. I had to have it. She's asking me to live my life without white flour. And I cried. I literally cried because I didn't know how to do that. I think it's been 1800 or 1900 days since I made that commitment not to have white flour. I don't put it on my abstinence because I think there are going to be times where I'm going to need to, like, we break bread on Sabbath, and if there's no whole wheat available for me, I'm going to have that, and I don't want to have a break in my abstinence. So I say I don't have it, but it's not part of my abstinence. My abstinence, the only two things I truly abstain from are potato chips and chocolate, because there's never going to be a time in my life where my life is going to depend on eating potato chips and chocolate. Well, there was that one time that my husband forgot the kosher lunch we packed, and we went to Knott's Berry Farm. And they wouldn't sell me a carrot from the store, from that restaurant. I just went to the kitchen and I asked them if they'd sell me a carrot, and they said no. Anyway, so those are the two things that if I eat those, I break my abstinence. There are many things that I stay away from on a regular basis. One of which is white flour, the other one is sugar, both of which I had this past weekend. I'm just outing myself because I am very, very, very imperfect. I totally wanted to be up here as the perfect poster child for OA. Say I've lost all my weight, I'm gorgeous, my life is fantastic, and I never have any worries, and that's so not true. My husband has stage 4 cancer. My best friend has cancer. I started back to work after my knee replacement on Tuesday, and things hit the fan while I was away. I'm not taking it on. My boss is a has a control issues. I don't have any control issues. But my life is 1,000% different than when I first came in. All the promises have come true for me. I don't have fear of economic insecurity. I understand how to handle situations which used to baffle me. I don't always do it with grace, but for the most part, I do it with grace. I'm not saying I don't have financial insecurity. I'm just not afraid of it. Because I know that God's in charge of the universe, and if I do what's right, God will do what's left. I'm a woman of dignity. I no longer lie. And it seems so foreign to me to even think about it. That's what's really weird. I had my own mother convinced I was adopted. You know what I'm saying? I was a really, really good liar. What else can I do? I have compassion for my husband, who's very self-absorbed with his cancer, as you can imagine. I have been somewhat depressed. I would say over the last 3 weeks, it's been relatively hard to do my self-care. Kathy, if you're on here, Kathy was one of my original sponsors, and she walked me through the essentials of self-care that I didn't know how to do. I had walked with her on the phone to a department store where I bought myself a special only mommy washcloth and special only mommy body wash, so that it would be just for me. Because this is when my kids were small and everything is their domain. Oh, look, this is interesting. And then I don't find it again. What else can I tell you? I like my life. I love you guys. You're awesome. Because you loved me until I could love myself, which is really an amazing thing, because I had so much self-loathing when I came in here. I was a five-year-old in a 30-something-year-old body. I had no idea what I was doing. I don't even have words for that. That's 5 minutes?
You have 5 minutes.
Awesome, okay. I used to chair this meeting for Adoption Consortium, and that was my rule, that if your cell phone went off during my meeting, you had to dance. I know I was talking about how much I love my life. I eat kind of like a zoo animal. I eat the same two breakfasts for the most part, or oatmeal or yogurt every morning, so I don't have to think about that. I have protein and a vegetable for lunch. I have the same snacks every day. Dinner is the only thing that really changes. That can get a little tricky. I used to eat a lot of salad, but Jeremy's not allowed to eat salad right now. And so I don't have the heart to eat it in front of him for the most part. He says it's okay sometimes. So I only get Cheez-Its when I donate blood, because I can't have those in my house. I don't eat those like a lady. Any foods that I don't eat like a lady are generally on the maybe not today list. One of the things I love about this program is you only have to do it for one day. I don't have to worry about what's going to be tomorrow. I don't have to worry about what's going to be this afternoon. All I have to worry about is what's real at, what is that, 10 minutes to, oh, that's wrong. That clock's wrong. Whatever time it is right now, it's the only thing that's real, and that's all I have to worry about. I don't have to worry. I don't worry about making a fool of myself, which I used to do all the time. I used to worry so much about what other people were thinking about me. But now that I know that I'm okay, I don't worry about it. If somebody out there doesn't like me, nothing I can do about it. And they're really missing out, because I'm pretty awesome. I'm friendly. I'm smart. I'm passionate. And did I say I was smart? I'm really smart. I thought I was really stupid. I really always thought I was stupid. I didn't even take the, what they call the SAT in high school, because I didn't want it to, everybody else to know how stupid I was. Now, mind you, I went all the way through high school never opening a book, and I got A's and B's. Something does not connect, right? But anyway, so I'm smart, and they pay me in my job to think, which is awesome. I have 4.5 years to retirement, and then I get to be grandma full time. My grandchildren are so delicious. I can't stand it. I'm going to go see them next week. One of those yummy, yummy and delicious boys grew up and married and now has two beautiful boys his own. And I love being grandma. I got a knee replacement recently, and I told the physical therapist my goal is to be able to play with them on the floor. Because when the journey started, floor was not in the picture. The kids would even make jokes at other people. Oh, mom even doesn't do floor. I don't do floor. I can do floor now. Not so easy, but I can do it, and I'm working on it. Life isn't always sunshine and roses, but it's livable, and it's doable, and I'm happy in it, even when it's not happy, like right now. I know that I have other things to share with you. So I guess if I don't have anything else to share, I'm going to stop sharing. Thank you for letting me be of service.